Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the ordinary monthly meeting of Devonport City Council. I would like to acknowledge and pay respect to Tasmanian Aboriginal community and the traditional and original owners of the and continuing custodians of this land. I remind all persons in attendance that this is council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant council officer and advise of their wishes. I would remind everyone to either please turn their phones on to silent or off. Thank you. Item one, we have an apology from Alderman Martin. Item two, I ask for declarations of interest in this meeting. Nothing? And I'd also like to just, for the members of the gallery, welcome Jeff Griffiths to his first monthly meeting. He's our new Executive Manager of Corporate Services. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you. Look forward to a long and interesting relationship. Item 3.1.1, minutes of the council meeting, which was held on the 29th of January. Do I have a move?
I move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin.
Second.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add.
Alderman Laycock.
No.
Any other comments, questions? Close the debate, Alderman Goodwin.
Close.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. This is public question time. Item 3.2.1. Just bear with me. Recommendation that council... We've done that. 3.2.1. 3.2.1 is responses. Beg your pardon. We have item 3.2.1 is responses to question time. Can I have a mover of the recommendation from previous meetings? Thank you. Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Alderman Matthews?
No, nothing to add, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Close the debate, Alderman Matthews.
You're closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Questions on notice from the public. We have listed in the agenda. Could I have a mover that we of that recommendation, please? Item 3.2.2. Thank you, Alderman Emerton, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Emerton.
Nothing to add.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add to me.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Close the debate, Alderman Emerton.
Consider it closed, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now come to public question time. I would ask any members of the public who have a question to step up to the microphone, state their name and address, and ask their questions, please.
Right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. Right, dear Chairperson, I wish to submit this question with regards to file number 31424. You only mentioned that there were 3 lid raisings for the next 2 to 3 months and 4 sites to be confirmed. I have produced a list of 74 list raisings in the Devonport area that will need attention. As they are not up to the Australian standards, these were the worst of the ones that I noticed, same as for the list at East Devonport, where there were a further 55 lids have been noted that are also require attention at East Devonport. These also need to be upgraded to the Australian standards as well. I can provide this list on request. With your work schedule in the next coming years, will you be informing me as a ratepayer when these extra lid raisings have been completed?
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
With the recent alterations to the roundabout at the corner of Ronald and Oldacre Streets, Devonport, how much did these works cost? Who is going to foot the bill for the council engineer's mistake in not getting it right in the first time? Why didn't the engineers follow the Australian standards in the first place? Will the other roundabouts in Devonport and East Devonport areas be upgraded to having trees planted in the middle of the roundabouts? Are all of the other roundabouts in the Devonport municipality up to the Australian standards? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Is there any other questions?
Yeah, Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive. In response to questions on payment of allowances to Alderman Martin, now that he's become a full-time senator, Council responded that it has an obligation to pay the prescribed allowances and there is no legislative requirement for Alderman Martin to resign as an alderman in the current circumstances. And it appears the cessation or part of all of a payment is a personal decision of a councillor, mayor or deputy mayor and requires to be advised by written notice to the general manager. But any such notification is not revocable retrospectively. Accordingly, will the acting mayor please advise? Is Alderman Martin going to be paid a mayoral allowance up to the 9th of March when reportedly he will resign as mayor?
Alderman Martin's on leave at the moment, Mr. Gardam.
And if Alderman Martin does not resign as an alderman after the 9th of March 2018, will he continue to receive the prescribed alderman allowances?
As far as I know, yes.
Beg your pardon?
Yes.
He will.
If he doesn't resign.
Considering that much has been made of by the Mayor in saving the Devonport ratepayers $50,000 by deliberately avoiding an election for a replacement Mayor, will the Acting Mayor use her influence with Alderman Martin, now a full-time Senator, to have him resign and forego his prescribed Alderman allowances after the 9th of March 2018, thereby saving the ratepayer an additional amount of nearly $13,000?
Well, that would be a conversation between the acting mayor and the current mayor, Mr. Gardam, and that's your three questions for now. Thank you.
That's the three questions. Mm-hmm. They're all for the one thing.
Three questions, thank you. You may come back if we're finished. Is there anyone else who would like to raise a question at this point?
I see it is now. Thank you.
Lee Murphy, 146 Nicoll Street. My question is, in a recent article in the Advocate newspaper, Monday 19th of February 2014, regarding Providor Place, Deputy General Manager Matthew Atkins said, quote, "The council had sought broad interest from anyone interested in being involved in the food pavilion, and there was no interest in negotiating a head lease." He said council was confident no other parties were willing to take on the risk and financial commitment required. Question. If this was the case, why did council proceed with building the food pavilion, exposing ratepayers to such risk, when there was a similar proposal presented to council from private enterprise? Secondly, would you like to answer that one first?
We'll take it on notice. Did you have a second question, Mr. Murphy?
It's a reasonably easy question.
Did you have a second question, Mr. Murphy?
On my word, I have. Can council advise, then you should be able to answer this one, as to when and where they publicly advertised their intention, or council's intention, to enter into a head lease agreement arrangement for a private operator to sublet a council-owned property, specifically the food pavilion?
We will include that in the answer, Mr. Murphy. Did you have a third question?
I do. At the council general meeting on Monday 27 July 2015, a council report was tabled, and it stated in that report, if council supported a proposal for the construction of a food pavilion on the Mersey River foreshore, that it would threaten private investment in stage one of the Living City project. Can council advise as to what level of private investment has occurred in stage one to date, and will the $850,000 that will be given to Providor Place Proprietary Limited be considered as part of the private investment, notwithstanding the fast appreciating commercial equipment that would remain council property?
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. We will respond in writing, so you have it in writing. Thank you.
So we can't get a response to any of those questions.
We will respond in writing so we ensure that we answer your questions correctly. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. You've had your three questions. I appreciate that. Thank you. Is there anyone else in the glade?
Bob Vellacott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Deputy Mayor and Alderman, questions tonight are, I note in the Advocate of February the 19th of this month, Devonport Chamber of Commerce and Industry President and a member of, I believe, of one of the Living City committees, Ms. Tracy Sheehan, in her comments about Living City and in particular Providore Place stated, when public money was involved, it was necessary to follow due process and to be scrupulous how it is spent. Indeed, how correct Ms. Sheehan is. Further, according to the report, Ms. Sheehan said, I'm a big fan of transparency. I recall reading on many occasions in council spiel that matters in regard to the Living City project will be dealt with in an open and transparent way. That is correct, I believe. Deputy Mayor, I can find no clause in the Tasmanian Local Government Act that requires or states that council shall, and I emphasise the word shall, have commercial in confidence, ACCA, secret deals with project managers, consultants and head lessors. Question. Given the above, will you please inform who insisted, and again I emphasise the words insisted, that the contract written when council engaged Projects and Infrastructure Holdings, Proprietary Limited, must be in commercial in confidence. So among other things, the details of the payment, as shown in council's 2017 annual report of approximately $2 million, or to be more precise, $1,993,626, must, for want of a better word, be kept secret. I remind council again, you are not, and I repeat, not a private company. So I go back to the question, who insisted that those contracts be commercial in confidence?
Thank you, Mr. Vellacott. I'm sure you would require that in writing. We will respond in writing. Thank you.
But the idea of I understood of question time, according to
Alderman, did you have another question,
Emerson,
Mr.
was we were wasting time. You can simply tell us now who insisted to sign that
Mr. Vellacott, I have made a response. We will respond in writing. Thank you. Did you have another question?
Thank you. Yes, I do.
Thank you.
The general manager, in response to a question I asked about this year's payments, if they would be approximately $2 million to P&I, stated, and I have got this right, all payments from council to P&I for the 2017 and 18 will be disclosed in council's 2018 annual report. The Local Government Act has been cherry-picked once again to justify that.
Your question, Mr. Bellacott?
Okay. The LG Local Government Act does not preclude councils from being open and transparent at all times. I understand that council had a policy to inform each quarter all payments in regards to Living City. That was one of the requests, and that was one of the things stated right at the beginning. The question is, does council, excluding Alderman at Jarman, consider his first obligation is to protect the interests of companies such as P&I and play being Father and Mother Christmas in giving gifts of approximately $2 million from ratepayers' funds? I'll reread that.
You don't need
secret
to
gifts
you do
of
not
$2
need
million
to,
from
Mr.
ratepayers'
Vellacott,
funds. Thank you.
You do not need to reiterate your insulting language. Thank you. We will respond in
There's
writing.
There's nothing insulting about it. It's just
That is enough. Thank you. Do we have any other questions, comments?
You may.
last part of question one, explain how the Mayor took a leave of absence to campaign in a federal election and claim that payments were still received reportedly on the basis of having time worked up when Council advised that no such mechanism exists for record keeping to verify such a claim by an alderman. Question two. I take it on notice.
The GM will respond to that comment.
No, it's a question.
It's a question.
Thank you.
I can respond to the question. The Local Government Act is very clear, as is stated in the response that I've provided in the agenda, that it is entirely at the discretion of the individual alderman in relation to the payment of allowances. There is no discretion from a council perspective in relation to those payments. The only person that can actually request that a payment not be made is the individual councillor, or alderman in this case. And so therefore we have no option but to continue to pay until such time as we are advised otherwise, or that person is no longer in office.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just to clarify, the question was there's no mechanism and it was stated it was time worked up. So I'll accept what you say, that's right. But why was it time worked up and there's no mechanism recorded?
Wasn't.
And the other thing is, thanks for that, Mr. West. It sounds like it's a...
Did you have another question, Mr. Garden? It's a case of morality
from the sounds of it. Question two. Section 55, Julie Burgess Repairs, 2017-18, on page 47 of the current agenda, gives a detailed report on the Julie Burgess current financial year repair costs. Considering these were major repairs far exceeding the budget allowance, and noting Council has previously described these costs as future-proofing the vessel, can Council please advise as to whether, A, is Council aware of any further planks that have been identified replacement in the 2018-19 financial year? And, if not, is Council confident enough to reduce the maintenance budget allowance for the 2018-19 financial year? You can take that on notice if you so wish.
I'm assuming that will be dealt with in the agenda, but if the General Manager wishes to comment on it.
Through you, Acting Mayor, my understanding is that the planks that have been replaced were the ones that were required, and certainly the boat is required to have an annual inspection. We are extremely hopeful that there are no more, but obviously as each inspection occurs, I can't categorically say there won't be, but our understanding at this stage is that the faulty planks have been replaced. In relation to the maintenance budget, of course the quantum of the budget will be reduced in line with what is expected to be normal maintenance of the vessel.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah, the specific question was, are there any planks identified for next financial year as a result of this? So you're saying
the answer to that is no? Certainly at this stage, no. My understanding is the planks have been replaced.
None identified. Very clear? Yes. Thank you. There are rumours that design alteration, including structural, are necessary to the ground floor area of the Southern Wild Distillery and mezzanine floor of the purpose-built cooking school within Providore Place. According to Council advise as follows. Does Council refute those rumours? And if not, what are the specific design changes required and who is going to pay for the changes?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'll take those on notice unless you want to answer
them. I have heard no rumours, but we'll take it on notice. Thank you, Mr. Garnham.
Thank you.
You may, Mr. Murphy.
Deputy Mayor, my question relates to my questions a little bit earlier with regards to the Council's public question time policy. The Chairperson may take a question on notice in cases where the questions raised at the meeting require further research, clarification, or where a written response is specifically requested. My question, what research or clarification do you need to go and seek in response to my questions that I asked previously, and I haven't asked for a written response. I just want an answer.
Mr. Murphy, I understand what you're saying. However, I feel that it's important that we give you the right answer, the answers that we are comfortable to have on record, and so I have made that call. Thank you. Did you have any other questions, Mr. Murphy?
Not at this this stage. No.
Thank you. Was there any other questions?
Deputy Mayor, I seek your indulgence in allowing an alderman permission to move for a suspension of standing orders after this question time so as to move the following motion. That Council seek permission from Projects and Infrastructure Holdings Proprietary Limited to make available to ratepayers the unredacted details from the relevant contract for the payment of $1,993,626. Thank you, Mayor, in anticipation of giving that permission. Thank you.
Was that a question, Mr. Delacroix? No, I won't. Thank you.
You won't do so?
No, I won't. We may discuss it in a workshop perhaps at a future time, but I'm not prepared to allow that at this point. Thank you. I need to seek... you know I'm new at this job, Mr. Vellacott. I need to seek the GM's advice.
Sorry, I just didn't hear you. Would you repeat that?
You understand that I'm new in this role and I would like to seek the General Manager's advice on such a thing, but I would prefer to leave it to a later date.
Through you, Acting Mayor, I go to call you Mr. Mayor and Madam Mayor and whatever, Acting Mayor. In relation to, there is no opportunity for notice of motions from the floor at a council meeting. There is at the annual general meeting, and which was taken advantage of back in October. In relation to any motion, in relation to matters like this, they have to be listed on the agenda. It's not something that can just be moved from the floor. And so, therefore, the Mayor is correct in not allowing that to occur at this stage.
Thank you.
Thank you, General Manager. Just to clarify their point then, Deputy Mayor, what is the correct term? How should we correctly address you?
I'm not terribly precious about it, Mr. Vellacott. At the moment, I'm the Acting Mayor and I'm the Chair of this meeting. So, either way.
So you prefer the word Acting Mayor?
Oh, I'm not precious about it, but that is my correct title.
I understand there's strict protocols in relation to
thank
this,
you.
But I just wanted to stick to those protocols. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Alderman Emerson. You've turned the chair around tonight. Thanks very much.
Thank you. No other questions? Thank you, everyone. We will move on to questions on notice from Alderman. At this time, we don't have any of those. So we move on to notices of motion. We have one, 3.4.1, and I know that this is completely unnecessary. However, I do know that there are some strong opinions around this subject, so I would remind you that I expect the debate to be respectful and relevant. As I said, I know I don't need to remind you, but I have, and I would ask Alderman Goodwin to move his motion, please.
And it is moved.
Thank you,
Madam
Alderman.
Chair.
Happened to see.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin.
I'd like to have a procedural motion.
I will hear the mover and seconder first. Thank you.
Right to go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I bring this motion forward, Madam Chair, with a bit of concern, I suppose, in relation to some comments I've had passed on to me in relation to our Australia Day awards and so on. And the question I was asked by one of the constituents, in fact by a couple of them, are we a pseudo objector to the Australia Day as we well know it? And which my reply was, well, certainly not, and not as far as I'm concerned, and I wouldn't have thought it was with too many of my fellow aldermen would be in that same boat. So consequently, I thought, well, it's time to get it right, and that's why the motion has been put forward that we hold our Australia Day celebrations and presentations, whatever the case be, on Australia Day, not the day before or the night before, on Australia Day. And to that end, I did note that the former mayor, the mayor on leave, did say at the time that it was to have it on the day before or the night before, so it frees everybody up to go to other events on Australia Day. Well, we could say the same there for the other councils. They could have their functions the day before to free them up to come to Devonport's functions on Australia Day. You know, that's not what it's about. Australia Day is Australia Day, and it should be celebrated on the 26th of January, on Australia Day. And I further add that other countries, in the US, they don't. It's July the 4th. It's not July the 3rd. And in our, certainly in our case, you know, Anzac Day is the 25th of April, so it's celebrated on that day. So there we are, Madam Chair. I'll see what the debate is from there.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, I'm happy to second Alderman Goodwin's motion that we celebrate Australia Day on the day, January the 26th. I think with the citizenship ceremony, it's terribly important to families that are, you know, becoming Australian citizen, that this does happen on the day. And the same with the members of the public of our community that are receiving Australia Day awards. It's just special because it's our national day. We also need to go back to having a Devonport municipality event. So as I said, I support this. I think it's terribly important. I did get word back from a close friend of one of the families that became citizens the night before that said, would have been nice that it was on the day, and so there was a bit of a discussion around that. A couple of years ago, there was only one of us that voted not to have it on the day, to have it on the day, and then this year we had three of us. So I'm hoping that tonight my colleagues will see the reasoning for this to go ahead. I think that if the event is going to happen after the citizenship and the Australia Day ceremonies themselves, families can enjoy that, and it has been said that they can go to other community functions, which they can, and myself, I've quite often gone across to La Trobe to be part of Henley on the Mersey, a great event. But I think that we need to show respect to our community on the most important day of the year to have an event. So I'm hoping, as I said earlier, that everyone will get behind this and it can be done and dusted, and that we're not fragmented within our community and, you know, people asking, why did you do that? We're here to represent the community, and the feeling that I get is the majority of the people would like to see these awards, ceremonies and events happen on the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Alderman Milne.
I'd like to propose a procedural motion. This motion doesn't have any attachments or any background information. We haven't really fleshed it out around the table. I really think that it needs more discussion behind closed doors, and so that's why I would like to propose a procedural motion.
No, I'm not prepared to accept that motion. I will remind everyone that whatever the decision is tonight, there will be a new council after October, and that council can make any decision it chooses about next January's Australia Day event. So whatever we decide tonight can be changed by, there will be at least one new face around the table, maybe more. And so I would remind you that whatever this decision is, isn't binding on that new council. So I'm prepared to continue to allow this debate to continue. Mr. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the motion, but I think we need to put some clarity behind the intent of the motion. I think at the moment there is some confusion out in the community that we don't have Australia Day celebrations on Australia Day because we don't support January 26th of being Australia Day. Now, that is not the case. There's no resolution on the books at this moment that we don't accept January 26th as Australia Day.
Can I just ask you to stick with
motion? I'm giving some preamble.
And be very clear about that we're talking about. Thank you.
Now, that position may change in the future, may change with this council, or may change with future councils, as it has done with several councils across the country that have given resolution to the fact that they would like to change the date of Australia Day. And that's fine. That's everyone's prerogative. That's every council's prerogative, and every alderman / councillor on that council's prerogative to have that view. But as it stands right now, we support Australia Day on Australia Day. I think that point needs to be made. As far as having Australia Day activities on the 26th of January, well, you know, we're the biggest city on the northwest coast. If we can't at least have citizenship ceremonies on the morning of Australia Day, it may take 2 or 3 hours, then I don't think we're really trying. I mean, we can leave the afternoons and the evenings to other towns and cities and areas that have their traditional activities, and that's fine as well. But I think the 2 points that need to be made is, from my perspective, we should have our citizenship ceremonies on the day itself, and until there's a resolution to say otherwise, this council supports January 26th as Australia Day. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. One, I'd like to point out, I think it's a shame that we're discussing something that's really not council business, but this is what happens with us, and it's a shame.
Alderman Jarman.
Yes. So my thoughts on this is, I understand that we were having it the night before because it made it easier on council staff. It made it easier on people wanting to go to other events. We have citizenship ceremonies throughout the year, so we don't just have them on Australia Day. But I so am very proud of Australia Day, and I certainly go and celebrate that day. The issue that's come up, obviously, lately, outside of our realm, is the fact that it's a day that is not a day that could be celebrated by Indigenous people. I agree with that, so I'm on the side of erring to caution on this. I'm sure that we could make this decision, as you're saying. We've got an October election coming up. We could talk about this later on because it's next year. We could change it again. But I have no issue because there's other things that we can do on that day, and there are certain things that we do. Probably the only thing is giving the awards on the day would be very appropriate, and I think we could still do that. But whether we have an event or whether we have to have citizenship on that day, I've got no issue at all. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, well, I'll be supporting the motion. Historically, January 26 in Devonport has been the date, other than the last 2 years, when citizenship and award ceremonies have been held. So it's only the last 2 years that it's changed. I see no reason why it shouldn't go back to where it was. I think Australia Day is such an important day in this country. Devonport shouldn't be out of step, as far as I can see. So it makes sense, in my opinion, for the awards and citizenship awards and ceremonies to be held on the day. So I'm going to support the motion.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Milne.
Okay. So the change was put to council for multiple reasons. Some of those are there was an advantage for staff not to have to work on the public holiday. Thus, they can enjoy the day and save the council the penalty rates that have to be paid on that day. It's conducive with a collaboration between councils. So Henley on the Mersey gets like, between 3,000 and 5,000 people attend to it. And our New Year's Eve celebrations, where the people from Latrobe come here, they celebrate with us and we get up to 10,000 people. So I think by having our own event on that day, we will be drawing from the patronage that we need to share. Now, Council, I hate to bring this up, but Council amalgamations mean that we will work collaboratively with other councils and join with them. So when you consider that Tasmania only has 500,000 people, the same as a council in Melbourne, that's one council, not 29, those decisions are made around these events that are conducive for the whole community, not just a small proportion. Saying that, now out there in the community, people are saying that the day was just a sort of an under-the-handed way of not celebrating Australia Day because of the Indigenous people in our community. That's not true. That's just an added bonus, I guess. that the council here made that decision and that supports their right. Now, may I also add that this day, the 26th of January, that seems so sacrosanct amongst this council, has only been celebrated on that day for 25 years. Prior to that, it's been celebrated on the 2nd of July, it's been celebrated all over. That day is only sacrosanct until the next federal decision to change it to another day. So why are we holding so dear to it? Citizenship awards are celebrated all throughout the year. So the 26th being one, only one day that citizenship awards are celebrated. Now, we don't have events on Christmas Day. We have our carols by candlelight on a few weeks before Christmas. Now, bringing Christmas, that's a sacrosanct day, isn't it? That's the day that everyone around the world celebrates on the 25th of December. Well, that's actually not true, because all around the world, that sacrosanct day is actually celebrated from any time between the 2nd of December right through to January, depending on the country. So Christmas, the date, isn't even sacrosanct there. So why are we holding so dear to this date? It's a gazetted holiday. Now, just let me tell you about next year. So next year, Australia Day falls on Saturday. So we get the holiday on the Monday. So it'll be a long weekend. Okay, so how's that going to fit? When lots of people like to go out and spend time with their families and have mini breaks. Are they going to hang around Devonport to do some sort of activity? Or will they be going off to Henley or going camping or doing the things that Australia Day, the celebration of our culture, was meant to do? Okay, I've had my say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I won't be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Alderman Milne. Did you have a question, Alderman Jarman?
Yeah, I do. Is it correct that they have the citizenship and Australia Day ceremony in Canberra the night before?
Yes, it's broadcast, I'm sure.
Through you, Acting Mayor, the Australian of the Year is announced in Canberra on the day before, on the 25th, on the
and
evening of the 25th.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I will ask Alderman Goodwin to close the debate. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm heartened by the support we've had round the table, and I do duly note Alderman Milne's comments, and I, for the life of me, can't see anywhere where I see anything about Christmas Day. And we're all well aware that Christmas Day is celebrated in different areas. But, of course, we're looking at Australia Day, which is the designated day, is the 26th of January. Now, that was given out 25 or so years ago, and we've all embraced it. And, of course, you know, that may change in time. Who would know? You know, we get a left-wing do-gooders get into Canberra and then change the date. You never know what might take place. But right at this point in time, in 2018 and in 2019, it's the 26th of January. Now, whether there's another council comes into this hallowed place in later on this year and changes it, well, that's in the lap of the gods. But right at this point in time, we are going to celebrate Australia Day next year, Alderman Milne, on the 26th of January. And we'll see.
I will remind you of the comments I made first up. Have you closed the debate, Mr. Alderman Goodwin?
In relation to that, Madam Chair, it's about time that we did celebrate on the 26th of January. Consider the debate now closed.
I consider it closed. Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? No. I will ask for a show of hands. Alderman Emerton, Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Perry. Those against? Alderman Jarman, Alderman Milne, Alderman Rockliffe. The motion is carried. Thank you, everyone. Item 4.0 is planning matters. We have no planning matters. Item 5.1, tender report.
I'll move that recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin.
This has been in the melting pot for a short period of time, Madam Chair, and I do realise that in relation to OH&S practices, that we need to go with the Mercedes, and there it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, I support the motion, Madam Chair. Interesting, out of the seven tenderers, there were only two conforming tenders in it, and this was the one selected, so I support the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.2 is the tender report for the Edward Street footpath renewal.
So moved.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman.
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I will remind members of the gallery that I would ask that you either listen while you're here or take your conversation outside. Thank you. Alderman Laycock. Alderman Jarman.
Look, it's all there, and the award's been given to the correct tender, I believe. So thank you.
Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Any other comments? Alderman Goodwin, did you have something to add? No. Alderman Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 5.3 is a report from around the gymnastics club and some changes we've had there. The recommendation on page 41.
Recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Thank you, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Chair. It's been workshop quite a bit, and it's been an ongoing concern in relation to the gymnastics club, but this looks like the outcome that we might be successful for everybody, so see if it pans out okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I agree with the recommendation. The only financials relative to the federal government pending $250,000 through you to the general manager. What's happening with that? Do you have any idea?
Through you, Acting Mayor, we advise that it has been verbally confirmed, but they're actually waiting for the written confirmation and the funding deed to be provided.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No, nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Oh, sorry, Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll support the recommendation, and the Gymnastics Club have had this issue, an ongoing issue with custom-sized building for the activities pretty much since the day I entered council some years ago. They've made some false starts on trying to improve their position, but they've got things together now, and we've discussed this quite detail at a workshop, and we've pretty much arrived at the recommendation that's in front of us, so I'd hope the Alderman supported on this occasion. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4, recommendation around charges for the Parramatta Apples Centre.
Consider it moved.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Alderman Milne. Alderman Jarman.
Yes, this is great so that we can actually start putting out the word that the place is ready to hire, which is a bit exciting. We've got to see that this is going to work, so we can't do that without the fees and charges sorted. So hopefully it's up and running and we can start marketing that big space we've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Milne.
Yes, this item was discussed at a workshop and we all came to consensus that this was the best way forward for these fees and charges. So I'm fully supportive.
Thank you. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I support the previous speaker's comments and note that we did workshop it, and there was a bit of science and research went behind the prices that we've arrived at, but also note point B, the recommendation gives the authority to negotiate with groups and parties subject to market forces at the time and whatever else we need to do to attract some events or some large-scale events, then they have that capacity to negotiate along the lines of market forces. So I think it's important that that point be in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Jarman to close.
No, and I wish Mr Dobson all the very best luck with it. Now we can go ahead and start marketing the place. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.5 is a report on the Julia Burgess repairs.
I'll move that recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin.
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The Julie Burgess has been an ongoing issue in relation to the to council from when it was first mooted. And what people must remember, and there's been quite a bit of conjecture out in the community with it, but it was originally restored under a government grant, and there was a number of conditions with that that we had to adhere to in order to get the actual funds from the, at the time, I think it was the getting towards the end of the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd government. And as I know, Sid Sidebottom was involved in the in acquiring the funds for it. Probably with the benefit of hindsight for a lot of people, it might well have been left where it was, but you can't, once the egg is scrambled, you can't unscramble it. So we have to fix it. Now, in relation to the planks, the original planks that were acquired for it had, I think from my memory serves me correct, were hew and pine. And they had been, they were dried right out, and they'd be timber off the forest floor, for the want of a better word. And from what I can gather, that timber and salt water doesn't mix. And hence the reason why we've had to replace the planks. They've now got Taz Oak planks on it, so in all fairness, it should be right now. But, of course, you know, the old houses, old cars, old boats, they can cost some money. Yeah, they can cost some money. So I wasn't going to go any further than
Thank
that,
you,
Madam Chair.
Good.
So in relation to it, it is what it is. It's cost us. We need to get on with it and see where it floats to from there, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Laycock. Oh, yes, Speaker, Alderman Laycock, thank you.
Previous comment from the General Manager saying that, as far as we're aware, there's nothing else needs to be done at the moment, but there will be ongoing costs. The sooner it can get back on the water, the sooner we can get some revenue in for it. And it's good to note that we're just about or undertaking a review of the business plan, which will be very good, and that, as noted by the officer's comments, that that will come back to Council. We just need to get it on the water for smooth sailing so, as I said, we can get some revenue in and hopefully nothing else raises its head in the near future so we can get on with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Yes, if I may, I've got a question through you to possibly the General Manager. The item three on that motion there, reallocation of the preventative maintenance budget. So that's 20 grand that we have put aside for the future, correct?
Through you, Acting Mayor, that particular amount is actually in the current year's budget.
Okay.
So what we're actually saying is that that allocation, in fact, the maintenance to the pontoon can be deferred for until next year. So the budget can be reallocated towards the overall costs of this repair that's just been undertaken.
Okay, so we're using money for something else for this because it blew out. Okay. It just seems to be an ongoing issue. Look, the Julie Burgess is the most incredible vessel. I've had the privilege of being on it, and I think that we're just going to keep on finding that there's more money to be spent on the vessel all the time. It's a big white elephant. We're now actually advertising it very well. I'd like to see people use it. I hope we can get the word out there that it's, she's back on the water. She's been off the water for so long, it's ridiculous. And I still don't agree the fact that we're spending money after money after money on this vessel, and I'm going to be the first one to look at this review, and hopefully we can come to a sensible decision in the future. Thank you.
Slightly mixed messages there, Alderman Jarman, but that's good. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I believe we made sensible decisions in the early part of the Julie Burgess, because there was a lot of government funding put into it, no funding from the actual ratepayer, though it was government funding, comes from the long-suffering Australian taxpayer, Australia-wide. So indirectly, I suppose people do pay for it, but I don't think at any time we made any decision that wasn't sensible. And at this point in time, I would be inclined to think that when we get into the review time with it, we'll still make some sensible decisions in relation to it. I would sincerely hope we can do that and see where it floats from there. Thanks,
Thank
Madam
you,
Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. I will close the debate and put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
Can I have a show of hands, please? Alderman Emerton, Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Perry, Alderman Rockcliffe. Those against? Alderman Jarman, Alderman Milne. The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 5.6 is a report on the Legat General Meeting agenda.
So moved.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Alderman Emerton. Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add. It's just to be received and noted.
Thank you, Alderman Emerton.
Nothing further to add, Madam Chair.
Any other comments, questions? Did you have anything to add? Alderman Laycock, to close. Thank you.
Consider closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.1, workshops and briefing sessions since the last meeting.
Second.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Milne. Alderman Matthews.
Really nothing further to add, Madam Chair. Just to note that there are a number of items actually in our workshops that are on tonight's agenda, so our hardworking staff have been doing a great job. So nothing further to add.
Thank you. Alderman Milne.
Nothing further to add. It's fairly self-explanatory.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Matthews to close. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is...
So moved.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. The Mayor's monthly report. Alderman Perry's moved. Alderman
Happy to move it.
Seconded. Alderman Perry.
It's all in the report, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Any other comment?
I just want to ask about the fruit fly incursion zone again. Are we still getting those emails through that Mayor Martin was sending us on the fruit fly? No.
I think he was forwarding. He'd been to a couple of meetings. Not sure that we've had any more information.
Through you, Acting Mayor, he did attend a couple of briefings and I think he was on that mailing list.
Hmm.
Certainly it wasn't... they haven't been provided to council. There was one today, which will be on the fact sheet later this week, which is in relation to the establishment of a something or other at the Devonport Airport, some control facility at the Devonport Airport that's related to the fruit fly incursion. But I'll be circulating that later in the week.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Alderman Perry to close.
Close, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's report. Can I have...
I move the report be received, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Matthews, Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Now, I've been through it and he's been to quite a few meetings, so... I have plenty of practice at that by this point in time. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Alderman Matthews.
Anything further to add?
Any other comments, questions? Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 7.1, Infrastructure Works and Development Committee meeting minutes. Do I have a mover, please?
Yes, I move.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Do I have a seconder? Alderman Emerton, thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Yes, we've been through all these meetings. Thank you.
Alderman Emerton.
Nothing further to add, Deputy.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Alderman Jarman to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 7.2 are minutes of the Governance, Finance and Community Services Committee held on the 19th of February. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Alderman Perry?
Yeah.
Alderman Milne? Alderman Perry.
All in the report, Madam Chair, thanks.
Thank you. Alderman Milne?
Yeah, all in the report, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments? No? Alderman Perry to close.
I'll close it at that, thank you.
Thank you. I will put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. But do we need to put a motion to close it? Yes. Can we have a motion to move into closed session, please? Alderman Matthews, Alderman Laycock. Any discussion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Thank you. This brings to a close the open meeting. Thank you, everyone, at 6:26.